Thank you, Barb, for that lesson for all of us. Let's prepare our hearts for the Word of God and for listening and speaking the sermon. God be with us in our listening. May the words that we hear and the words that we think and the words that we know echo your love for us. Amen. So in February 2007, after seminary, I was working as a chaplain in training at the Mishawaka and South Bend St. Joseph hospitals. These hospitals began as hospices for the sick about 130 years before that time, and they were run by the Sisters of the Holy Cross. Many things have changed in the years that these hospices and hospitals have been there, but one thing had not changed, and that was the linking of faith and healing. On one particular Wednesday morning, I got up, got dressed, drove the half an hour to the clinic, and arrived just in time for the doors to open by 8:30. And upon entering, Sister Rosa, who was one of the administrators, presented me with a lozenge box. Do you remember those? They were like, I remember them. Anyway, my mom always had bobby pins in hers, but this one was full of ashes. And I was to provide the imposition of the ashes to all the staff that were there, to the doctors, the nurses, and to any patient who wanted it. Now, I wasn't very familiar with this custom, and in all my years of seminary, I seem to always have missed the chapel where they did the imposition of ashes. But after finding out from Rosa what to say, I went about the building providing this service. On each forehead, I made the sign of the cross and said, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So we're really good at wishing and praying for good things to happen to each other. We pray blessings on each other. Here at a church or at privately before God in our prayers, we pray that God's presence will surround and heal and nurture and convict and abide with us. But rarely do we pray that God will remind us of our frailty, our finiteness. Rarely do we pray that we will be confronted with our weaknesses. Rarely do we pray that one whom we love dearly will be struck by their weakness and their finiteness. And I very much know that we rarely pray that we ourselves will be confounded by our sins. And yet, this is the time when we confront it. We don't want to be reminded that we've sinned. We don't want to be reminded that there are things in our lives that we choose to ignore for the sake of looking good. And I'm of the mindset that God is a God of grace and love and commitment, that God seeks us and desires to abide with us. I also believe that once we have committed to the faith and believe in the love of Jesus Christ, God's Son, we are saved. But I know that there's more to it than that. Our Mennonite Confession of Faith. Now, I've been looking deeply into the Mennonite Confession of Faith lately because of the catechism class that's going on. But our Mennonite Confession of Faith speaks of salvation far better than I can. We read, "When we hear the good news of the love of God, the Holy Spirit moves us to accept the gift of salvation. God brings us to right relationship without coercion. I love that. Without coercion. So God doesn't guilt us into it or shame us into it. Now, some of us might think that that's it. That's final. All done. And yes, we are saved through faith and God's grace, but that is not the end. Jesus reminds us in the parable of the sheep and the goats that worship without service means nothing. James 2:26 reminds us that faith alone without works is dead. And in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, Paul reminds us that if we have faith without love, then we are nothing. You see, we cannot pick up and accept and receive God's grace until we let go of the stuff that's in our hands. The confession of faith continues. Our response to God includes yielding to God's grace, placing full trust in God alone, repenting of sin, turning from evil, joining the fellowship of the redeemed, and showing forth the obedience of faith in word and deed. Basically, these are all words, many words, to say the simple truth. Faith in God causes a response. And when there is no change in life, no life transformation through our relationship with God, then there is something seriously wrong with our faith. We have to let go of the stuff that we hold to open our hands to receive God's love. This is the first Sunday in the season called Lent. And while the celebration of Lent isn't found or prescribed in the Bible, the Jewish people, Jesus included, did celebrate or do celebrate a season of repentance that begins at the time of the new year, Rosh Hashanah, and then is concluded after 10 days with Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. Yom Kippur is considered the date on which Moses received the second set of the Ten Commandments. It occurred following the completion of the second 40 days of instructions from God. At this same time, the Hebrews were granted atonement for the sin of the golden calf, hence its designation of the Day of Atonement. So the point of this time of repentance is to atone for one's sin and become reconciled with God. These are not easy days. There is much fasting and prayer and almsgiving. In Jesus' day, goats were used as sacrifice on Yom Kippur. First, the goat of the Lord, a sin offering for priests. This was a regular sacrifice. And near the end of the day, the day-long service, a head priest would lead a goat to the gates of the temple and then place or pronounce on the goat all the sins of the entire people. The priest would send the goat out of the gates into the wilderness, bearing the sins of the people out of the land. This was the original escaped goat, or the scapegoat. Now, we don't celebrate repentance. However, we do set aside these 40 days of Lent for intentional repentance. Sorry, I'm just checking the mic here. There we go. For intentional repentance, confession, restlessness, temptation. It is a time for preparing our hearts to receive the gift of God's grace. It's a time of preparation for reconciliation. It's a time where we are confronting the sin that we hold in our hands to prepare to let it go. By Easter, we've had 40 long days to think about it. 40 long days where we are reminded to repent. 40 days of slogging through sin, through slogging through our own recognition of who we are really before God. Is that what Lent is about? Let's look at our scripture today. If we really pay attention to what we're hearing, then there is a whole lot more light than dark, a whole lot more graciousness poured on us by our God than punishment. There is milk and honey to aid us on our journey. Barb read for us the part of Moses' story. God gave the Israelites a land flowing with milk and honey, and they, in turn, gave genuine gratitude through their offering of their first fruit. Those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness from Egypt to Canaan tested the mettle of God's people. These 40 days of Lent are a bit of the same kind of wilderness. Like the Hebrews wandering in the wilderness, and like we in these days, Jesus too was tempted for 40 days. The Gospels remind us that Jesus, in the time of preparation for ministry, set out to be alone, to focus on his priorities, to pray, to fast, to open himself up to God's working in him. And I am so thankful that the Gospels include this story, Jesus' temptations, because it reminds us that God knows our frailty intimately and loves us beyond it. We read in Luke 4, 1-13, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, one does not live by bread alone. Reverend Dr. Suzanne Metz, in her article, Sin Like Ashes in Our Eyes, questions, would it have been so wrong if Jesus just turned a few stones to bread? Certainly there's no sin in that. What is Luke really telling us? Perhaps that we might be tempted to want to manipulate the world to our liking. That can grow into the serious sin of not caring from where our food comes from, or the people that provide it, or the environment from which it grows. Are we tempted to make the world suit us and to forget about how all that may affect others? Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, to you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I will give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Jesus' second temptation might make us think about what we feel we must own. What in our lifestyles comes before our consideration of God? If we're honest, many things can draw our eyes away from God. Things that, in and of themselves, they're not bad, but things that can own us. And power can own us. And we lose who we are when we become slaves to our stuff and our power. What in our lives comes before God? Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an appropriate time. Jesus Christ knows what we face. Christ is familiar with the powers that try to turn our hearts from God. This time in Lent is a time for us to face and acknowledge our sins, to repent and to ask for forgiveness, and then let go. To open our hands and to give to God all the fear, all the hate, all the entitlement, all the sin that holds us back, so that we can have open and empty hands and hearts that are ready to be filled by God's grace. So full that the grace and the love cannot help but pour and spill out of our every pore in everything we do. Is there another slide? Okay. In these days of repentance, friends, do not be afraid. Whatever comes up in your times of self-examination, know that God has never and will never abandon us. God is with us, and God loves you through all your sin, through all that stuff that you might not want to ever look at. God loves you and knows all about it and desires for you to let it go. God will lead you through this time of wilderness to a feast that is beyond. A feast that's flowing with milk and honey, where God will wipe away the ash of our shame and our guilt and our finiteness and clothe us with love, anoint our heads with oil overflowing. Be at peace, my friends. This is a tough time that we're entering into, but it is a time that you are loved. Open your hands, let it go, and receive. Let's sing.